Now, I don't know what it is. If I hear taps, it's all over for me. It just is. So I'm trying to recover emotionally here.
Okay.
I'm going to read a little story about a soldier, and he received the Medal of Honor for what I'm going to read about, and then I'm going to get into the message. But this is a real good illustration that we can connect with and then really apply it to our own lives, because though many of us have not fought in actual combat, numbers of people in here have, but many of us haven't. But there is an aspect to this on the spiritual end of things that certainly applies. So, I didn't write down the guy's name. This was back in 2009. His first name is Dakota. I didn't get his last name. Johnson, was it? Thank you. So, it was just before dawn, a patrol of Afghan forces and their American trainers were on foot making their way up a narrow valley heading into a village. And suddenly, all over the village, the lights go out. About a mile away, Dakota, who was then a corporal, and Staff Sergeant Juan Rodriguez Chavez could hear the ambush over the radio. It was as if a whole valley was exploding. Taliban fighters were unleashing a firestorm from the hills, from the stone houses, even from the local school. And soon the patrol was pinned down, taking ferocious fire from three sides. Men were being wounded and killed, and four Americans, Dakota's friends, were surrounded. And as Dakota said of his trapped teammates, "Those are my brothers. I couldn't just sit there and watch." So Juan drove the Humvee and Dakota manned the gun turret. They drove straight into a killing zone. Dakota's upper body and head was exposed to a blizzard of fire from AK-47s, machine guns, mortars, and rocket-propelled grenades. Coming upon wounded Afghan soldiers, Dakota jumped out and loaded each of the wounded into the Humvee, each time exposing himself to all that enemy fire. They turned around and drove those wounded back to safety. They did this five times. On the third time, they went back. On the third time that they went back, insurgents were running right up to the Humvee, Dakota fighting them off. Up ahead, a group of Americans, some wounded, were desperately trying to escape the bullets raining down on them. Juan wedged the Humvee right into the line of fire, using the vehicle as a shield. With Dakota on the guns, they helped those Americans get back to safety as well. On the fourth time they went back, Dakota was wounded in the arm. Their vehicle was riddled with bullets and shrapnel. Dakota later confessed, "I didn't think I was going to die. I knew I was." But still, they pushed on, finding the wounded, delivering them to safety. And then, for the fifth time, they went back into the fury of that village, under fire that seemed to come from every window, every doorway, every alley. And when they finally got to those... trapped Americans. Can you put yourself into this? Some people can because you've done it. Dakota jumped out and he ran toward them. Drawing all those enemy guns on himself. Bullets kicking around up the dirt around him. He kept going until he came to his four American friends that were lying where they fell, together as one team. And the story goes on. He rescued, he and Juan rescued 36 people that day. 36 that would have all been dead, and nobody would have ever known whatever happened to their bodies. But he got the Medal of Honor for that. And the story, really, I hope you can grab something from this, that for someone to go in the direction where bullets are coming from and not running away is quite an accomplishment just in itself, and to do it so many times, and there's so many people, and this is why we honor the people that have died, and really all veterans, because of that kind of dedication and commitment. I want us who live in a world that's so far for us isn't really encumbered with that kind of thing here in this country, that we will remember, honor the people that have to do this, and that we learn from this, because we are soldiers of Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
And so I want to take this in a different direction here, and talk about a particular thing that all of us, I believe, is something that God is speaking for us, especially for today and as time moves along. Juan took that Humvee at one point and got it in between where the fire was coming from and the Americans and Afghanis that were fighting against them. Got himself in between there. And this is a real good picture of what intercession is. Intercession. Coming in between. To intercede is to come in between. Another way of saying that is fill the gap. Fill that space. And it provides protection. One thing soldiers do, and one thing I think a lot of us do, is we want to protect. We want to protect our children. Husbands, you want to protect your wives. And the other way around, right? You know, there's a protection thing, and that's what soldiers are all about. And for us as soldiers of Christ, I think that's what we really should be all about too, isn't it? Protecting one another, caring for one another. And the Lord just kind of opened up some things to me, and I wanted to talk about that. Before I forget, since Melinda had referenced this, I didn't have this in what I was going to speak on, but when she said it, I thought, boy, this is really a good thing. One thing about when you're in a fight, you know, war is not a game. You can play little war games on your computers, but real war is not a game. It's brutal, vicious, hurts. Anything that's bad, that's what war is about. It's hell. Any of you that's been in it, you would say, yeah, it's hell on earth. And I can't speak from experience. But there's plenty of people in here that can. And I applaud you for your bravery. Well, here's one thing that Melinda brought out, was about the beating of the Arabs here. I want us to understand something. This wasn't what I was going to, part of what I was going to talk about, but I think it applies. So this is out of 2 Kings chapter 13. And it says in verse 16, starting in verse 16, it says, "And he said to the king of Israel," this is Elisha, "put your hand on the bow." put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you shall smite the Syrians in Aphek, till you have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and said unto the king of Israel, smite them upon the ground. Strike, take those arrows, and hit the ground with it. And he hit the ground three times and stopped. And the man of God was very angry with him and said, you should have smitten five or six times. Then you would have smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now that you shall smite Syria but thrice. Now we go, well, gee whiz. They're not going to totally defeat because he only hit the ground three times instead of more. What's the picture? What was God trying to say there? Or what was in the king of Israel's heart? And what we find out is there wasn't a commitment all the way through. You know, when you get involved in something, when you really get involved with something, you pour your whole being into it, don't you? Yes, you do. The things that you really have that mean something to you. And I'll tell you why. If we just mealy mouth pray, if it isn't something where we're praying for somebody to really be there for them, and we're going to stay at the prayer, no matter how long it takes. That was what Melinda was talking about. Staying at it, because you know what? The enemy isn't just going to go running away. He doesn't just go running away. We can say the name of Jesus, and that brings power, and that gives us something to stand on. But we've got to stand in the fray of things. The enemy might back off, but he's going to find a way to come back at you. Mm-hmm. You believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. You ever had a great victory in your mind? You're down about something, and then some good thoughts come and go. Oh, wow. You know, I think I'm on top of it now. And then you stop paying attention, and before long, the enemy has found a way to get your mind back into the mully grubs again. He's not going away. He's not going to run away just because you say the name of Jesus once. We've got to stand on the rock, don't we?
Yes.
And this whole thing of intercession is dealing with providing that protection, having that being there as Jesus is to us. We are to be with one another. Mm. Now I'm going to read you some scripture just to make sure that you know I'm not talking off the top of my head. First of all, let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Hebrews 7, just to establish what Jesus is doing. Jesus thinks this is important. Now, I want to point out that I'm convinced, I don't know if you will be convinced, but I'm convinced that this is the message that God wants to say to you. And if God is speaking to you, you know, a lot of times, well, God, just speak to me. You know? Now, I think God is speaking to all of us this very thing. Because this message on intercession, did you notice in the song, what was the song of...
Victor's Crown.
Victor's Crown, yeah. In Victor's Crown. It talks about interceding. He's ever interceding for us.
Yes.
I mean, that's right in there. That's called confirmation. And God does that. That God will do that. He confirms things, and He does it not to make me feel good. He's doing that so you and I realize that He is intimately involved in each of our lives, wants to say something, has a rhema word to give, and He's giving it. And therefore, you and me should grab a hold of this. I have to grab a hold of it. Just because I'm preaching it doesn't mean anything. I can preach to others and find myself disqualified. I have to listen to God. You have to listen to God. And you have now an obligation, hearing the word of the Lord, to put this into practice. That's what God wants, isn't it?
Yes.
He wants us to hear and obey. Because He knows it's the very best thing for us. And we need to protect one another. We need to be intercessors for one another. We've got to come in between. Because, boy, the onslaught is just something else. And we need that protection. And if we need these kinds of illustrations from the real world to get us to understand that our fight isn't with flesh and blood in that term, in the terms that we're talking about here. Our fight is with powers and principalities. And you know, when a brother and a sister are going through something, I hope that we rise up in a greater way in our intercession for one another. Intercession is different than prayer. It's a type of prayer, but it's not just praying. I'm going to take you to a scripture in Timothy real quick that delineates between that. Between supplication and giving thanks and prayer and intercession. As though they're separate ideas. Right? So intercession is something that's a little bit different from prayer, though we're doing the same kind of thing. We're talking to God. Right? Alright. So, Hebrews. Chapter 7. Did I read this?
No.
Didn't think I did. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says this. Therefore, He is also able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing that He ever lives to make intercession for them. What's one of the things Jesus is doing up in heaven? He's coming in between you. And well, there's two different things that are going on. One is between us and God the Father, the righteous Father, saying, they're covered in my blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
He comes in between the righteous Father and us poor sinners and says, they've accepted my blood. So I stand in between, and you've already given the punishment of their sin on me. Isn't it? Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus, right? But there's something else that Jesus does. And He intercedes, and He gets between us and the enemy. Because our fight is with flesh and blood. And interceding means to come in between. To shield. To protect. And He does that. Doesn't He? And like I said, I think it was last week, you know, we're co-workers with God. We don't just go bopping through life knowing that Jesus is going to take care of us and we have nothing to do with it. Oh no, that is not what happens. When we're walking with God, that means we're walking with Him. We trust Him. We believe in Him. He's going to be there for us. He'll cover us even when we don't deserve it. But He wants us to be in the fray. He wants our mouths opening, helping to protect other people. Isn't that how He works? We're the body of Christ. He wants us to be part of all of this. And so we are in battle. Period. And we need to step up into it. Not put our heads in the sand. Jesus will take care of us. Yes, He will. But he wants us to get our heads up out of the sand, realize that that is a ruthless world that we live in right now. That we have responsibility to one another for protecting one another. I don't want to see a casualty because what's the term? Covering our six? Is that it?
That's Joe? Marine Corps.
That's Marine?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever it is. Okay. You know, covering your back?
That's on.
Isn't it great to have your back covered? You know, you're in battle. It's nice to know you got some people there alongside of you. And not just a body who doesn't know how to shoot or is afraid of the fight and is going to run away once the thing starts happening. No, we want somebody that's there who's actually interceding. Not coming in here and saying, oh yeah, I'm an intercessor and not really be doing it. We all need to up our game here. Don't we?
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that, you know, Jesus is ever making intercession for us. He's ever, ever making intercession for us. I think that's something else, isn't it? All right, let's go to 1 Timothy. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 2. All right, I'm going to read the first five verses. It says this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He exhorts us to do this. We have a responsibility. Like what Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, we are. And keeper means to guard, to be a guardian, to watch out for. Yeah? Yeah, we are each other's keeper. Be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, when the authority in countries are running amok, what's life like for the people that live there? Not so great. Any of you here want to live in Venezuela right now? I don't think any of us would want to be there. Or North Korea, or numbers of other places, because the authority there is corrupt. And the same thing can happen in any country in this world, including the United States. And that's why it's important that we pray for those that are in authority. Right?
Yes.
That's why it says, you know, pray for people, intercede for the kings and people that are in authority, so that you may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Otherwise, it's not going to be so quiet, and it's not going to be so peaceful. It seems as though God would like us to lead that kind of life, but there's something we need to do about it. We're not going to just bounce through life, and God's just going to make everything go right. He wants us to enter in because we are in battle. Can I get that point across? Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. That's good in the sight of God. That we're actually standing in the gap for one another. When we see that there's a situation going on in somebody's life, we stand in the gap. We get between them and Satan, who wants to bring them down. We say, oh, I'm right beside this guy. I'm right beside this woman. And I am standing with them, and this is what I have to say. With the mind of Christ, within the will of God. And then we stand there in the gap praying for that person. Right? That's what intercession. Intercession is a special kind of prayer. We can pray that we have a good day at work tomorrow. And depending on your work, maybe it is intercession. but you know, there's just general kinds of prayers for things, and you can pray where you're giving thanks because the prayer is speaking to God, or you're praying for somebody else, for something where they need some help, somebody standing in the gap for them. That's what intercession is. Now, I also I wrote down some things because I looked up what the word intercession actually meant, and I thought it was really kind of interesting. Oh, wait a minute, I'm going to finish the scripture first. I know, I just said it. Let me finish this first. So, it's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4 says this: who desire that all men be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. What does God want? God would like everyone to be saved. That's his wish. That's his desire. Is that going to happen? No, because some people are going to reject them. That's their choice, isn't it? But God would wish that everybody would come to salvation. Verse 5 says this: for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And that word mediator is one who stands in between. That's where that comes from. Mediator and intercession all have the same thing. It's a reconciler. It's a keeper. In other words, someone who guards over, watches over. That's what Jesus is doing for us. And it looks like, from verse 1, that God expects us, it's good in His sight, if we're doing that for one another. Okay. Alright, so now. So, intercession, or to be a mediator, to be an intercessor is a mediator. It's someone who stands in the gap. It's someone who comes in between. It's someone who reconciles situations. It's someone who guards, watches over. It's he or she's a keeper, a protector, a guardian. The person provides a place of refuge. Now, it also means... that word means to interview. That kind of threw me for a little bit of a loop. Interview. So think about an interview, okay? When you go to an interview, you get asked questions. If you want to be an intercessor, you know, you've got to know something about the person. You got to know, you and I have to know something about them so we know how to pray. Interceding means that we take the time to ask questions. How are you doing today? And, you know, lots of time, you know how that is. How are you doing? And your mind is going someplace else. That still happens to all of us, doesn't it? You know, yeah, you want to be polite. There is care, but sometimes we're just a little too cavalier about it. Or you know, other things happen. You know, you have something on your mind, and you're walking past somebody, and how you doing? But in your mind, you have this situation or this person you're looking to go talk to, and you know it's the right thing to say, and you want to know more, but you're not engaged. Does that happen to you? But so, being a good intercessor requires us to ask questions so that we can get the right kind of information so that we do know how to pray. You know what happens too? Sometimes we stand from afar, we see something happen with somebody, And we evaluate with our own minds from our own perspective and viewpoint, and we think we know why or how somebody's doing something when we probably don't. And so we make these judgments, and unless we actually take the time to ask the questions of people, we're not going to be good intercessors if we're not talking to one another, getting to really know one another a little better. Not prying. This isn't, to find out all we can so we can, did you hear that? We're not talking about that kind of junk. We're talking about the desire to stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters. Just like Dakota. He says, those are my brothers and sisters out there. I couldn't just stand by. I needed to get in there and get between them and the danger. Do you feel that way about the brothers and sisters? If we don't, this is something, if we're called to intercede, shouldn't we be asking God, God, make me a better intercessor? Because bad things happen. The other thing is to intercede means to confer with or to deal with. Sometimes interceding is stepping in there and having to say to someone, look, you are going down the wrong path. Now, we don't like doing that, most people. Most people don't want to do that, and we avoid that. But to be an intercessor, if you can't just jump in and do that with somebody. You've got to have already asked questions. You've got to have gotten to know their situation better and have prayed about it and have interceded in that way. And this is another level depth of intercession where you're actually going to go and actually talk to somebody and say, hey, look, you're messing up here. I love you. I want you to go in the right direction. Turn around here. I'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth.
You should have a good foundational relationship before
That's exactly what I was saying there. That's exactly right. So, the Lord, I believe, is saying, I exhort you, therefore, that supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all people. All people. Everybody in here. Now, you can hear that, and you can say, well, that was a nice message. Or maybe if the Lord is convicting, like he's convicting me, I've got to step up my intercession. And I think many of us, we intercede for people all the time. But, is it three times? Or is it five? Or six?
As many as it takes.
Not giving up. Like Melinda was saying, this is what's really important about battle, isn't it? Oh, I ran out of ammunition. What am I going to do now? Oh, well, I guess I'll better put my hands up. Oh, I forgot about that other store of ammo that's over here. And we have the victor, don't we? We have the person who has the victor's crown. He will get us through things. Yesterday, I was helping Gary up at his place, and he had cleared down some trees, and there were trees. When the trees fall, they don't always fall where you want them to go. And so they were laying all over each other, and it was a big mess. And I had come up to help him move these trees out of the area that he wanted to clear out. What a mess. And I looked at that, and I said, well, where are we going to put, where do you want this put? And he says, you guys, I don't know, because we're going to need this spot over here, and that was about the only spot we really could put him in. And so, I mean, it looked, I was like, this is useless. There's no point. What can we do? I was easily defeated in the way I was looking at the situation. Now, Gary, on the other hand, he goes, well, let's pray. I said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I said, I'll be on the phone. So we prayed. But doesn't that happen to you? I know, and there we are. The situation grabs a hold of you, and there you are, and what's up with your head spinning around. So I went, yeah, let's do that. So we prayed, and then we said, well, look, are there some other options? So now that was the Holy Spirit starting to work, having us ask questions. Not just be overwhelmed by the whole thing. Well, let's take this a step at a time. That really helps out in situations, doesn't it? When you feel overwhelmed, whether it's schoolwork or whether it's your job or relationships, and you look at the whole picture, sometimes you go, I'm done. There's no way out. It's just all over. I'm also just.
It's amazing.
You know, so I said to Kathy the other day, I said, man, and she said, what's wrong? I said, oh, my mind has just been racing and racing and racing. Now, if you know Kathy, she didn't really collect this opportunity. Bye-bye. She goes, now, normal people call that thinking. So we had a big laugh about that. I said, I'm gonna mention that. But that is true. So there I am. And I was just overwhelmed with all this stuff, and there's lots of things going on and on many different fronts. And I was and usually I stay on top of it, but I haven't been the last week or two, and it's been dragging me down. So then this thing happens, and there I'm going, oh, here's something else, you know. And how are we gonna take care of that?
Sometimes we tell God how big our problem is when we should be telling our problem how big our God is.
Yeah, that's a good thing to remember. So we walked through in some other areas of the place, and we're talking all along. We said, well, you know, no, that's not going to work, and no, this isn't going to work. And we got to the point where we just said, okay, well, this would be the next thing that we can do. This is how we're going to approach the problem. Now, we've got to take all of these things, and we've got to neaten it up. So we got them all facing in the same direction. We made a big burn pile of all these down trees right in the middle of the big wide area that was cut down, so that the excavator could come down along and pick it up and take it someplace. So we put it in the middle. Okay, that was Gary's idea because he's smart. So we got them all piled up there. And I stepped back when we finished the last one, and I went, wow, that wasn't so bad. Something that I thought was just, there's just no way that there can be an answer to this. And within an hour and a half, oh, yeah, it can be. I want to say to you, and I want the Lord to really get this into your heart. What, even things that we think are way out beyond, there's just no way. God wears the victor's crown. And the Lord can take situations that look impossible to us and put them in its proper place. Right?
Yes.
He can do that. He can do that with warfare, with the things that are coming out of our minds. He can do that with relationships. He can do that with what's going on in job or school if we allow that to happen. He can. You believe that? You trust the Lord?
Yes.
Well, one big thing is that when I'm weak, I need people aside beside me. Praying for me. And you do too. And that's why it's important that there's enough communication within our body of believers that we know what's going on. You know, we're not going to hide things. You know, there's some things you don't tell people. But you know what I'm saying. There's many, many things of our life. If we know, if we share, we know that we're going to have at least those people that we share with come alongside us and be there for us and help us to pray along with Jesus. Because it's through Jesus that we're doing the praying anyway, isn't it? So Lord, we just ask that you who are our intercessor and you who have the power and the ability, Lord, that we would step in to where you want us to be. Those who intercede for one another in a greater way. And Lord, that we enter into this battle. That we honor one another, and that we honor fallen soldiers, not in the same degree, but Lord, that we honor one another with our care and with our commitment to one another through prayer. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love one another. We ask now that you make this real to our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.